Today's podcast with Parvati Shallow is sponsored by Audible. Check out audiblepodcast.com/RHAP to find out how to get a free audiobook download. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is frequently called both an idiot and a moron, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to finale week here on Rob Has a Podcast. Can you believe it? We are almost ready to put another season of Survivor in the books. It's almost time to put Survivor Philippines to bed, but not before we crown a winner of Survivor Philippines, and that is coming up Sunday night, Survivor finale weekend, the most exciting Survivor weekend of the season, and that is a three-hour Survivor night this upcoming Sunday. We're going to get the two-hour finale, then we're going to get a one-hour reunion show. Then we're going to get a live Rob Has a Podcast Survivor Know-It-Alls edition with myself and Stephen Fishback breaking down what we just saw this season on Survivor. And the best part of all, I will be live at the finale in the press area. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to show up, who's going to be around, but I will be in the building live. I will be there Sunday night, so that's going to be a lot of fun for us. And then on Monday morning, we'll have exit interviews with everybody and talk to the final four. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun also this morning talking with Abby Maria Gomez. People have said it is the best exit interview of the season. I can't disagree. Had a lot of fun with Abby Maria. She answered a lot of questions because she talks very fast, and that was very good for exit interviews. And she was great this morning. Check that out if you haven't seen it. And then also, I talked with Stephen Fishback. We broke it all down, broke down a lot of these final two scenarios, final three scenarios in our Survivor Know-It-Alls podcast, which is you can always find on robhasawebsite.com. Got some very exciting news this week. I was inducted as part of the 2012 class into the Survivor Hall of Fame. So very big thanks to everybody involved with nominating me and supporting me through this process. I could not tell you, begin to explain to you in this podcast how thrilled I am about this. So thank you guys very much. I really appreciate all the support from you guys. It was a really big honor to me, and it really means a lot to me. I don't know if it means a lot to everybody, and especially I don't know if it means a lot to everybody that's in the Survivor Hall of Fame, but it definitely means a lot to this guy, and very much appreciated. Thank you guys for your support. Really cool honor. So that being said, we got a big show today. We're going to talk with the winner of Survivor Micronesia and the reigning Miss Survivor, yes, Parvati Shallow. We're going to talk with Parvati and get her sense on where everything is going with the end of the game and, of course, answer your questions from Facebook. But you heard me mention at the top of the show, this podcast is sponsored by Audible, and they're sponsoring our shows all month long, so we really appreciate that. And so I want to tell you guys a little bit about Audible and what they do. And they are a service where you can download audiobooks. Now, audiobooks are just like podcasts, except you actually learn stuff or hear intelligent stuff that's not some guy who is on a reality TV show rambling for sometimes hours on end. You actually get real literature. Now, I'm a big audiobooks fan. I prefer to read a lot of listen to a lot of nonfiction, and I'm almost done with another book that I've been listening to, and it's a really cool book. It's called Drive, and it's by Daniel Pink, and it's about the science of motivation, and it really, it's some really like mind-blowing stuff. Basically, this book says that the way that we motivate people and get them to do stuff is that we, you know, give them money. It's like, oh, people won't do that unless you pay them money or unless you get, you know, give them a bonus, and then they'll work harder. And that's actually not true. The research shows that when you give people bonuses to do things, it makes them do it for a short while, but then it makes them not want to do it, and it makes them actually do worse than if you didn't give them bonuses in the first place. And it really got me thinking that according to this book, that because Survivor is a game with a $1 million prize, it sort of inhibits people playing the game creatively to try to win, because they're just thinking linear about how to win that money. But if Survivor was for no money, just to be the title of Sole Survivor, and you had people who were there who just wanted to be the Sole Survivor and play the game, they would come up with a lot more of creative solutions to different things. We'd see a more exciting show if there was no $1 million prize. So Mark Burnett is like, what all this time I could have had this an even better show. Yes, it's actually true. If you read this book, Drive by Daniel Pink, that's one of the 100,000 books that are available on Audible, so check it out. If you sign up for Audible, you will get a free audiobook download when you sign up for a monthly subscription. It's a really cool service. I like it. Check out audiblepodcast.com/RHAP and get your free audiobook today. All right, everybody. Rob Cesternino here, and we have a very special treat. We always are very excited when we have this woman here on Rob Has a Podcast. She is not only the winner of Survivor 16. She is not only a Survivor Hall of Famer, she is also Miss Survivor, and currently she's covering this season of Survivor for The Hollywood Reporter. Please welcome Parvati Shallow.
Yeah, woo!
Parvati, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that glowing introduction.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. It is well deserved. It has been way too long since we've had you on the show. First off, before we get into anything Survivor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it has been a while. I've missed you.
I have missed you as well. Very happy to have you back in the Survivor mix here, because you, whereas in Survivor One World, seemed like you weren't so into it. Now you are back in with both feet here on Survivor Philippines.
Oh, yeah. I dove in. I dove in hard.
Yeah.
And I like it. Yeah, I'm digging the season because of the character development that they've shown from start to finish, especially with Lisa and with Scoopin. I mean, these people have really given us a glimpse into their personalities, and it's gone deeper than just gameplay. It's more like we're watching them grow as human beings. It's kind of cool.
Wow. Who has grown as a human being? Lisa?
Yeah, I think Lisa has.
Did Abby Maria grow as a human being?
Yeah, I think that she's probably learned a lot about herself, and that will come later in time.
Very good.
I'd absorb it later.
It's too bad we didn't have you on earlier in the season, because we would have loved to have heard what you had to say about your old friend, Jonathan Penner. Now, were you impressed with Penner's gameplay the third time around?
No, I have to say
oh,
I
no.
wasn't. Yeah. I mean, I have nothing against Penner at all, and I know he wanted to win this game desperately. I think that he felt pushed out, and he lost some power, and then he was kind of trying to regain it and trying to make moves and stand out, and he wouldn't commit to an alliance that way, and he lost it.
Oh, my God. Were you entertained by Penner
oh
this
God.
Season?
Whoa.
Yes.
Was I what?
Were you entertained by Penner this season?
Yeah, I was. Especially when he found the idol and he was running around like, I'm on fire! I thought it was quite entertaining.
How about when he won immunity? Were you impressed with your old companion from the white people team from Survivor Cook Islands?
Yeah, us whiteys gotta stick together.
Yes.
I was really proud of him. You could tell watching that episode how much he really wanted that. He was really going for it. And to see him pull that win out in the end was impressive.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he did well.
Very impressive. All right, so let's segue into this current season. This is a Final Five scenario, something that you know very well about. And you are also somebody who has played in both a Final Two scenario and also in a Final Three scenario. So you've really seen both sides of this. So, and at this point, we don't know if it's going to be a Final Two or a Final Three, because we're going into the finale and there's four people left. And everybody's saying, oh, no, it's still a Final Three. But we're going to have a finale where we're only going to kick off one person?
It's happened before.
When?
It happened in Fans versus Favorites, and then we ended up having, an 8 an even number jury, and that's what they would have again, right?
But even in your finale, didn't the finale start with the final four, and then you guys vote out Natalie Bolton, and then you guys vote out Suri? I mean, I don't still have it on TiVo or anything, but I'm pretty sure you guys
Well,
didn't
this
start
one would be,
the
oh,
fin.
because it's the final four now. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happened, but it's not like Survivor doesn't shift things up every now and then.
Yeah, I
So
guess
it could
so.
happen. But maybe you're right. Maybe it is going to be a final two. I've been banking on the thought that it would be a final three
Okay.
pretty much this whole season. So it might be a final two.
Now, we're basing that based on the TV show. So the players in the game wouldn't be doing anything different because they have no reason to think that it's a, they don't know, oh, this is the finale episode. They, for all they know, they think it's the next to last episode, or
Right.
when there's four people left, or for, you know, or they already thought it was the finale episode or whatever.
Well, you haven't heard any of, we haven't heard any of them talking about, oh, it could possibly be a final two, then what would happen? No one's been saying that. And I'm sorry, but taking Lisa and Malcolm is the dumbest, I mean, not Lisa, taking
Denise.
Malcolm and Denise is the dumbest thing that Lisa and Scoobin could do. They should have kept Abby. They should have done it. I mean, I don't know what this whole, like, I'm gonna take the high road and I'm a good person. You know, you're gonna lose. So
Yes.
there you have it.
Yes. So let me talk to you about this idea. What are these guys doing thinking of making a final three with Malcolm? Now, I'm going to compare Malcolm to you because I think that you are one of the very few Survivor players who is a triple threat in that you have all three aspects of the game working, the social, the strategic, and what's the other one? The socials.
Physical,
Yeah. Whatever the other one
drop.
is.
Maybe you missed that one.
Yeah.
We
Yeah,
gotta get you back in
the
the frame.
challenges, the challenges. What I blocked that one out. But anyway, so you're a triple threat. I think Malcolm is a triple threat as well. What? Why is anybody
I
keeping this
think
guy
so
around?
too.
Now, I know he
It's
won immunity. He won immunity, but they're talking so much
yeah, I
about
mean
getting
they
rid
don't
of
have
Denise.
yeah, they don't have choice at this point because he did win immunity and he's a very strong physical competitor. Lisa had the right idea trying to get rid of him way long ago with that blind side, but no one else respected her enough with Pete, remember? And then Pete told everyone that, oh, Malcolm has an idol and I'm cool and I'm gonna, you know, keep him around because he's my boy. Malcolm's playing a flawless game,
Whoa.
completely flawless. He lo like everybody loves him. He has not made a single enemy. He won the family challenge, brought, you know, Scoopin' and Lisa along. Denise still likes him, even though, I mean, she kind of has to. She's been with him, like, no one else is closer to her, right? So he's doing all the right things, making all the right moves. He still has an idol. I am shocked that Denise didn't make him give it to her last night.
Yeah.
Completely, like, I was like jumping out of my seat. I'm like, oh my God, take the idol from him. You might get voted out. Are you crazy? So, I mean, they must have known something that we didn't know because it looked like she was in trouble. I think it's completely insane that Scoopin' and Lisa are taking, making, made this deal with him and are taking him to the final three, supposedly. But Lisa keeps saying that she's going to man up and play the game and, you know, start voting people out that she think can beat her, but she's not doing that. So it's all talk right now. That's all I see from.
Parv, let's go through this piece by piece. Let's go with Malcolm here. Now, we had in the episode, Malcolm makes a deal with Lisa and with Scoopin' and says, hey, we're going to vote out Denise next. Do you think that was the right move for Malcolm to do? Should he have voted out Denise there like he intended to? Or at least he said he was going to?
Yeah, why didn't he? I was confused by that. I don't know if he meant, oh yeah, we'll get rid of Denise after we get rid of Abby, but they just didn't show that, or he didn't, it was implied, but he didn't say it. Because when they got back to the island and he had won immunity, he didn't even, it wasn't even a question about him getting rid of Denise. Him and Denise were just like two peas in a pod, like they've always
Yeah.
been. And I'm like, wait, what just happened? I thought he wanted to vote her out.
The thing that was confusing, though, was why didn't he give her the idol, though? If Denise is really his partner and he really wants to keep Denise around, why not give her the idol? It makes no sense to me, unless he just didn't want Lisa and Scoopin' to get
No,
pissed.
Rob, he said it in the show. He wants to keep the idol and put it on a shelf in his room.
Oh.
I'm serious. People that find the idol, they have like they covet it and they want to take it home with them and they want to show it off to their friends and family. He didn't want to give it to her.
Not you. Not you. You're like the secret Santa of idols. You find idols and you're just giving them out to people left and right. Hey, I got your name. I got your name.
Stuff. Yeah. I hate stuff. I have this aversion to stuff. Like, I want to get rid of as much stuff as possible. I want to just live with my suitcase and that is it. You know, like, I like to be very mobile. So I don't want big idols weighing me down. I don't like stuff like that.
Yes. Very feng shui. Very good.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Very yogi of me.
But I mean, I don't understand how Denise isn't like, okay, but seriously, give me the idol. Just give it. Just.
No, that's what I'm saying. Why didn't she fight for it? The thing about Denise that I've noticed across the season is that she really doesn't want to make waves. Like, she wants everyone to like her. She's a pacifist. She's a peacekeeper. So she doesn't stand up for herself and fight for herself. She's just like, oh, okay, I guess I'm safe. So, you know, you keep the idol, put it on your shelf. I'll be fine.
How about Abby Maria? Did you come to like Abby Maria after a while?
She grew on me. I found her entertaining, mm-hmm. and I thought she was tough. And I always like it when a girl stands up for herself. I know that she was not the nicest girl in the beginning, and even actually all the way till the end when she was calling Scoopin an idiot and a moron. But I don't know. I think she's just a little bit socially inept and has some things to learn, but I do see potential in her.
I see potential in her too. I had a talk with her this morning. I interviewed her this morning and I had a very nice conversation with Abby Maria. I think she just got a little cranky on the island.
Yeah. And she was in pain. She had an injury from the beginning of the game.
Yeah. She had a knee injury. So that could, yeah. that could set you back, I guess.
Right. That's why she didn't compete in so many of the challenges. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Who knew?
I know.
Yeah. Who knew? So let's play out this. Let's go back to this final four scenario, because I really am. My head is spinning because I don't understand what any of these people are doing, except for Denise, because obviously for Denise, it didn't except unless to grab Abby Maria to vote with her and get rid of Lisa and Scoopin, because you'd want to at the very least break up the pair of two at the final five.
Oh man, they should have broken up the pair of two long, long ago. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Now it's like Lisa and Scoopin are basically married, and Malcolm and Denise are married. Mm-hmm. So it's not like any of the married couples are going to be betraying each other.
So, yeah. So unless Malcolm is going to go through with backstabbing Denise at the final four, I mean, you're going to get to a scenario where you have a potential 2-2 tie at the final four. And we're going to be talking about who can make a fire.
Oh, man, I hope not.
We're going to talk about it. Yeah.
No, you know what? I think Malcolm would throw Denise under the bus.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping happens is that Denise just wins immunity and then throws all their plans awry, which is normally the case. Don't you agree?
Par for the course on Survivor or par for the course on Survivor.
Par for the course.
Yes. Nice. But tell me, what is Denise's plan here? Because I don't think she's planning on stabbing Malcolm in the back. So is she just saying like, hey, let's go to the final four and then it'll be 2-2 tie and then we'll figure out the tiebreaker from there.
Yeah. You know what? I think Denise has no doubt in her mind that she can win against any of the people that she's there with. They haven't shown her like trying to strategize or trying to get rid of Malcolm at all. Like it seems to me that she's sticking with him no matter what.
Okay. But she still needs to get to the end of the game. I mean, is she banking on it's a final three and I've got a 75% chance to be in the final three if I get to the final four.
Well, the way that she's been playing has been kind of a coattail game underneath Malcolm's wing. So maybe she'll just let other people make that decision.
I guess so.
I don't see her trying to make moves to stay in the game. If she was, she would have forced Malcolm to give her that idol last night, and she didn't.
She didn't. We go back to this a lot, this line that she said about, I want to go up against the people who are the best players. This isn't going to be a season where we take the weak people to the end. And she did, you know, carry through on that. They did vote out Abby Maria at the final five. Your take on that is win the game. It doesn't matter. Don't be a hero.
Don't be a hero. Why are you trying to be a hero? It's Survivor. If you make it to the finals, then you deserve to win. You know, you make your argument, you get your votes however you get your votes. That's how the game's played. But if you're going to go up against whatever you think is the best of the best, you're really just setting yourself up for a major disaster.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, especially now because everyone's now eyeballing Denise to get rid of her. I mean, I don't know. But all these people are playing with they're saying their integrity and their high morals and values, and they're constantly praying this season. And now Lisa is saying, okay, I'm ready to play, and I'll throw a couple of people under the bus. Even if I give Malcolm my word to the final three, it doesn't necessarily mean I'll keep it.
Let me ask you, what's your take on people who play the game very religiously? Now, the last time you haven't played Survivor since Survivor 20. It's been more of a recent thing the last couple seasons where we have people who are very vocal about their faith. Yes, it's happened before, but it's been more of a trend really in the, post
Yeah,
Matt
you're right.
Elrod era of Survivor. Or he really was, brought it to the forefront. And
Oh yeah,
we've
sure, I would
had
hope.
a few God-heavy seasons the last couple seasons. Now, what is your take on all that?
I think that there's a couple ways that you can take it. I think that for me, I do believe that there is a higher power, and when you're playing a game like Survivor, so much is out of your control that praying and asking for help and trusting and having faith really can help you maintain your sanity in that kind of paranoia environment and chaotic environment. So that's one thing. And then the other way to take it is like the Russell Swan way, where he's like, "Oh God, why are you doing this to me? Why have you forsaken me? I guess it's just not God's will for me to win this game." And that, I think, is an excuse and it's a cop out. And when you lean on your religion and your God and saying, "Well, it's not God's will," then it's like, okay, well, now you've given yourself a nice little excuse. You can wrap it up, tie it in a bow, and you feel a lot better about being a loser.
Wow. So, what basically, if I'm reading between the lines, what you're saying is that religion is for losers?
No, never. I would never say
You heard it here first.
that. But if you use it as an excuse for your failures, then it makes you a loser.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess also by the flip side of that is then if you win, then it's not even like you did it, God did it.
Yeah, and that's great because that is the way that it's, that's just the way that life
It's just the way that it is.
is.
How come God wanted you to win Survivor 16 but not Survivor 20?
I don't know, Rob. God always has a
He's
plan,
very
so you just
fickle.
go with it.
He's very fickle.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I learned a lot from winning 16, and then I learned a lot more from not winning 20. So I think that the whole purpose of us being here is to just grow and learn.
Yes.
And the way that we learn is through our experiences. So,
Wait, so
it was a learning
you learned a
experience.
lot about life, or you learned a lot about Survivor?
All of the above.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very good. See, I don't know anything about life. I feel like I spent too much time learning about Survivor.
Well, Survivor is life.
Whoa.
It's a little microcosm. It's a life bubble.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, we're getting deep over
That's
here.
poetry.
This
Very good. So,
is what happens when you start writing. You
yes.
start to get real deep with your thoughts.
Yes. How have you approached your view on the game differently after blogging? You blogged what you did you blog a season before this and then you took one off and then are back this season?
Yeah, I blogged Redemption Island, Rob season that he won.
Yes.
And then I wasn't as into it that time. I had just way too much going on in my life. But now I really am enjoying it. Like I have enough time to get into it. So I'm really watching the season and watching these characters and, obviously analyzing everything that's going on behind the scenes in my own mind. And it's been really fun and kind of a cathartic thing for me to be so entrenched in it.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, I love doing the podcast and talking about the show and being a commentator because we can't screw up. It's so much easier over here.
I know, it's great, right?
It is good.
Like, what were you guys thinking, you dummies?
Yeah. And everything, we could just be after it already happens. Like, what was that? What were you guys thinking? It was so obvious.
So obvious. I hate it when people did that to me.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing it.
And you are even going to be covering the finale. You are going to be live at the finale as well on Sunday night.
Yeah, that's right. I am in this, Rob, for real. I haven't been to a finale since my own Heroes and Villains finale. It's not just something that I just would do normally, but I'm just so loving this ride.
Yeah. And Parv, I have not been to a finale since your first finale. I was there. I was doing interviews on the red carpet for the Fox Reality Channel.
For Cook Island?
Yes, at Cook Islands.
Oh, great. So this will be a reunion for you and for me on the doing interviews on the red carpet. I'm so happy for
Although that. I'm going to do my show live after the finale, but I'm not going to be live on the red carpet.
Oh, I see.
We'll see. Maybe we'll let us do interviews beforehand.
Maybe we'll get a few snippets.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll interview you on the red carpet.
Okay, I will allow it.
Fair enough. Let's talk about the reward challenge here. And sort of, I want to get your thought process on, now you've won reward challenges, right?
I have.
Yes. So I want to get your thought process on, because as we're going along here, I'm feeling more and more like winning reward challenges is just a terrible strategy and no good can come from it. Now, I want you to disagree with that strategy.
I have to disagree.
Okay.
Winning reward challenges can be a really good thing. It can also come back to haunt you, obviously. But Amanda won... Oh, no. Actually, Rob, I think you might be right. I'm trying to think of one example to back up my statement, but I can't.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. You don't actually want to win the reward challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one that I won, the like best reward challenge that I won, was in Cook Islands with my dad, the family visit. And I won that one with my dad. And then I ended up getting sixth place. It's the worst I've ever done. So... I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so. Well, last night it didn't really blow up in Scoopin's face. And it was the only thing that has never blown up in Scoopin's face, because everything else he touches explodes or breaks right in front of him.
He got headbutted by a whale. How does that happen? It's amazing.
And then what happened with the fire? Did the fire explode?
I think it just came after him.
It popped, yeah. Oh, my God. He's like one of these people. He must have at one point gotten like had a ticket for an airplane and then he didn't get on the airplane and then the airplane crashed. And then you can't cheat death, Mike Scoopin. It's lurking around every corner for you. And no matter where he goes, it's still trying to get him.
I mean, literally chunks of his shoulders are coming off.
Yes. He's melting.
Yeah, he's not okay out there. No. Somebody's got to keep an eye on him, which I wrote about in my recap tonight. I thought that Malcolm was his sober companion. Like, he was the one who was watching out for him. And obviously, I mean, he's doing a very poor job of that.
Yeah. Now, Parvati, you love candy. Have you ever seen somebody get drunk off of soda before?
I've never. Never in my life. But you know what it reminds me of? Like when you're in high school and people have a party and some girl...
I'm going to stop you right there, Parvati. I don't recall what it's like to be in high school and somebody has a party. So I'll have to just take your word for it.
You never went to a party in high school?
No, I still haven't gone to a party.
Oh, man. I'm going to have a party for you.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
And then I'm going to serve you grape juice, and I'm going to tell you it's wine, and you're going to act all drunk, and you're going to run around and be crazy and go skinny dipping in the pool.
That's what happens? That's a psychology experiment?
Yeah, and I'm going to be like, Rob, that's not even alcoholic. That's pretty much what Scoopin's doing.
I'm thinking about not drinking soda for 30 years. And then when I'm like 60, then I'm just going to drink like a 2-liter bottle of soda. And it's just going to be the most fun day I ever have.
No, you know what? You have to, that has to go along with 39 days of starving yourself too.
All right. So I'll go back to Survivor.
I'll set that up for when you're 60.
And I'll be like the old guy on a season. And then I'll drink a bunch of soda after I get done just to have that experience.
I loved it.
Yeah. yeah. Can Mike Scoopin win this game, Parvati?
Yeah, he can.
How?
Oh, you want me to elaborate?
Yeah, break it down for me.
Okay.
Who can he beat in this final four?
I think that Scoopin has a fighting chance against Lisa. So if it's a final two,
mm-hmm.
and Scoopin and Lisa are together, Scoopin has a good, solid foundation of human interest, where he's a father and he has, you know, children. So that's always good. He's played before and was medically taken out. So this is his second chance. You know, he has played a good game. He hasn't made really any enemies.
Well, Lisa
has a few people that, you know, she's betrayed along the way. They've all kind of forgiven her, but I think Abby would vote for Scoopin' over Lisa.
Hmm. Who do you think would be better in front of the jury, Lisa or Scoopin'?
Oh, Lisa, for sure, 100%.
Yes, I think so. Although Scoopin' is like a public speaker. And maybe he could just do like one of his raps of like, hey, when I burned my hands in the fire, I thought that things were going to be different, and they were, and the Lord gave me strength. And maybe he has like a whole like 5-minute monologue just down cold, and he could give that to the jury.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll prepare. He must.
He's got to prepare.
Something up his sleeve.
Yeah. I think actually.
Or he could just walk in and fall into the fire and just.
No, not again.
There is one final fire.
Yeah. But the thing about having Abby not there is that I think we do have four people that would all be pretty good in front of the jury. Actually, a few of these people here at the end, I'm going to throw Penner in there too. Penner would be great with the jury.
Penner would have been really good with the jury. But I don't think anybody else really. Yeah. The final four, it's a good final four.
Here, ask me a question. Ask me a question. Let's see what would have happened if Penner got to the finals. You be on the and you could even pretend it's Cook Islands and you're in the and Penner got to the finals.
So Penner's in the finals and I'm in the jury.
Yes. Yes.
Listening to Penner do his spiel.
Yes, no, you're asking him a question.
Oh, okay. So, why do you deserve to win this game?
I deserve to win this game because I played hard. I've been back 3 times now, and I'm going to win eventually. I started out on the white people team a long time ago. I had to deal with poverty. I had to deal with Adam Gentry and Candace, and who even knows where she is now. And her name isn't even Woodcock anymore. Now, it's something else, and who can even know what that is?
Oh, my God, Rob, that is so good. I actually thought he was you for a second.
He's here.
Well, that's not fair.
Yeah. But that would be a lot of fun if Penner was in the finals.
Yeah, it would have been fun. And to just have Penner and Scoopin' up against Abby, that would have been great.
That's also, you know, in hindsight, you know, I say now it would be fun to have Abby Maria in the finals, but, you know, it's not really that much fun when somebody's in the finals that you know they're getting no votes. You know, it's almost like it's almost like giving the game to somebody else. So it's almost like this person is like for instance, like Philip in the finals. On paper, it was like, ooh, I can't wait to see Philip in the finals. But then he was sort of just like, it was like, oh, yeah, this is making it boring because now I know Boston Rob is going to win.
Well, I mean, you knew Boston Rob was going to win from the beginning of that season, so that's not even a good example.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's not a great – all right, Parvi, you don't have to just because you have Hollywood Reporter credentials.
Are you a little tongue-tied over there?
A little bit. But
get Jonathan back on the line.
Yeah. what is this guy even talking about? You know what I mean? Like, it's on paper,
really
it's like, ooh, yeah, this will be great. You get somebody in the finals that's going to be, like, cursing everybody out. But it just makes it a less exciting final tribal council because it makes it.
Well, yeah, I hear you. Because then you have someone for sure that you know is not going to win. And if it's a final two, then that's really dull. But if it's a final three, then, you know, you still have two good, solid competitors.
Yeah.
It's like a Yule, Ozzy, Becky situation.
Right. It's like, we don't even need to ask Becky any questions.
I mean, nobody did. I mean, she basically disappeared.
Yes. I don't even know if she ever appeared.
I was like, where's Becky? What happened?
So, Parvati, you have won this game. You have been to the finals twice in this game. You've also won Miss Survivor.
Coveted honor.
Who has the look of a winner to you? Who's going to win this game on Sunday?
It's a toss-up. It's either Malcolm or Denise, and it depends on who wins that final immunity challenge. And I'm going to call, let me see, I'm going to say, I'm going to say Denise.
You say Denise. See, Denise was my pick originally. I feel like she has the worst shot out of anybody.
You do?
Well, maybe I think her and Scoopin. I feel like Lisa, I feel like, has a very good shot to win the game. I really just feel like, and that's like just the, but I'm really like looking into just the way that the show has progressed. And the way we've seen so much of her, I feel like she has the look of a winner right now.
Yeah, that's true. And well, we've also seen a lot of Malcolm, so you never really know which way that's going to go.
Yes,
I think Lisa, it actually has been the Lisa show.
Lisa or Malcolm, I think, will be your winner on Sunday night.
It's one or two. Well, the thing that concerns me about Lisa going up there, and well, this could be good or bad, is that the jury is made up of most of her original tribe members.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if anyone is holding a grudge against her, then that's going to be a problem. But with Malcolm, he didn't have a chance to play really with those people for as long as she did. So he didn't have a chance to rub them the wrong way. And he can play the whole, I was the underdog, I was on this decimated tribe, and I made it through. And, you know, now I'm standing here before you guys and vote for me kind of thing.
Did you like it last night when Abby Maria was calling Mike Scoopin an idiot and a moron?
No, I didn't like that. I thought that was very mean.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Ren and Stimpy?
Yes.
Yes. I just, that's what I was thinking of this morning, that Abby Maria is like, you idiot.
You idiot. You are a
dummy. You're an idiot. You are a moron.
That does not make her look very good.
Yeah.
At all. Abby and I are going to have some etiquette classes.
You're going to take Abby Maria to charm school.
I'm going to take her to Parv's charm school.
Wow. That could be a reality show.
Yeah. Oh, Survivor Charm School after the fact.
Yes, absolutely.
I wonder if her and RC have overcome their little feud yet.
Well, they know the truth. Let me tell you, Parvati, I spoke with Abby Maria this morning and I asked her about that. And Abby Maria, I felt like, took the high road in this. But I think the real feud right now is the word on the street is that Pete and RC are feuding a bit.
About what?
I don't know. I think they have some harsh words for each other. I've been hearing through the social media grapevine.
Maybe that's because Pete was the one who ruined her.
Well, I think so. And Pete has been posting some not complimentary things about RC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's rude.
It hasn't even been Abby Maria.
No.
Yeah. So we'll see if that maybe explodes on Sunday night.
Oh, wow. So this is going to be pretty heated.
Parvati, what's your favorite part of the finale show?
Well, finding out the winner, obviously.
Yes. It's exciting.
That's exciting. That's a big moment. But that's my favorite moment. And then afterwards, it's kind of like, fizzles.
Yeah. Have you ever watched a finale in person? Besides, I know you haven't been back since Heroes versus Villains.
Oh, yeah, I did. I watched Token Cheat.
Okay, how was that?
It was good. I went with Max, my little Make-A-Wish kid.
Oh, cool.
I was his date.
Whoa.
He was 12 years old.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I like him young.
What? Yeah, what was his wish?
It was, his wish was to go to the finale with me.
Oh, okay, good.
But that was it.
Yeah, good, good.
Where we left it.
Fair enough. So it's an interesting experience. I think I'm actually going to, I'm not going to be in the audience. I want to tweet, and you're not supposed to have your phones on in the room, in the audience.
Oh man, I want you to hang out with me.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. You know where to find me.
I'm in the audience. Maybe I'll just run back and forth.
Yeah.
So I can shoot out a couple of tweets.
Yeah. On the commercials or when they're doing like the walk past the, cause if it's a final three, could be a long first hour there.
Yeah, that's true.
Could be a long first hour. All right, so let's go into some questions that we have for you. Of course, we get questions for you from the Facebook page, from the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook fan page. Are you ready for these questions?
Mm-hmm.
You can go to facebook.com/RobHasAPodcast to check out these questions every week and submit your own. So here we go. Amy Shapiro will start off here. She wants to know, Parvati, of the final four, who would be the best boxer? Can you tell us that from looking at these people?
Yeah, it would be. Well, Malcolm has the reach. And he has this very, like, interesting prancing move that he does. So I think he'd be good in the ring, good, like, dancing around with his footwork. And then Denise, it would be a good matchup between Malcolm and Denise, because Denise is, like, she's small and compact, so she could get inside and work the body. And Malcolm would have the reach, so he could work her head.
And what would happen with Mike Scoopin boxing?
Scoopin would just die in the first 4 seconds.
He would punch himself in the face.
He
and
would
then
punch himself.
Knock himself out. He would fall out of the ring on the way to the boxing match.
Yeah, we would have a million-dollar baby situation on our hands with him.
Yeah. Sandra Schmidt Brooke, she wants to know, RC compared herself to you. What similarities in her game did you see to your game? Would you say that was a fair comparison that RC made?
I don't even remember RC's game. Oh. Is that bad?
Well, that does not sound like a very Parvati-esque game to me.
I don't remember, and I don't think that she was flirting with anyone. She was playing with Mike Scoopin, so no, I don't think her game was like mine.
Yeah. Okay, here's a random question. Ori Kohab wants to know, Parv, how would you compare Malcolm and Angie to Adam and Candace? Would you compare those two?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's a good comparison. Yeah, Malcolm used Angie. She cuddled up to him. He made her feel good. It's pretty much exactly what happened with Adam and Candace.
Yeah, but
Candace had a huge crush on Adam.
Yeah, but weren't they in love? Didn't they have like a kiss on the island? I mean, that for Malcolm, it was sort of like just like, hey, she's hot. She has big boobs. And but then he voted her out like 3 days later.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he didn't get as deeply connected as Adam and Candace got.
Apparently not.
Little showman's for us.
Yeah.
I can't believe you let her get voted off, though, because her cookie comment, made the entire show.
Yeah. Malcolm, he hit it and quit it, Parvati.
Oh, man, he's that kind of guy. That's why he reminds me of Ozzy.
Toot it and boot it. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you did.
Nicole would be still
mad.
Yeah,
that's why Malcolm's more Ozzy than Adam, sure.
Yeah, why Ozzy is a hit it and quit it kind of guy?
Ozzy is a ladies' man.
Whoa. There you go.
Whoa.
This much we know. Yes. let's
see. Not that I would know from personal experience.
Yes. Yes. Obviously.
Don't get
not.
It twisted.
Don't get it twisted. Okay. Lance Darnell wants to know, do you ever brag about how long you can hold up your arm? Have you ever bragged about that to anybody?
Oh, all the time. Pretty much start my day off with that.
Just you go up to people and tell them, hey, you know, I can hold up my arm longer than you.
Yeah, like the people at Whole Foods. I'm like, hey, you want to have an arm holding up competition? Because I did it for a really long time.
Yeah.
Guess how long.
If you were going to do that anywhere, I feel like Whole Foods would be a good place to tell somebody that.
I go there often, so, you know, it works.
Yes. Okay. How about Enan Hennigan wants to know, has there been a female competitor Parv hasn't played with that she would be nervous to face off against in a future season? Do any of the male or female competitors make you nervous? Because I feel like they don't.
No, they don't make me nervous.
Yes.
They don't. But I will say the one person that I admire her game in recent seasons was Kim, the one who won a couple seasons back.
Yeah. See, now she...
I thought she played a great game.
I feel like she wouldn't make me nervous, but that's probably why she's so good.
Yeah, probably.
Like,
she'd be like undercover still.
Yeah, the people that I would be nervous on a Survivor season are the people that come in and are like, you know, from day one, it's like, boom, here's what we're doing, you know, we're doing this, and like play like very aggressive. That would make me nervous. It's like,
that's how Russell plays.
Yeah, I'd be nervous because it's like, whoa, he could totally screw everything up here in the first couple days. But
oh man, for real, you're like, just cool it, kid.
Yeah, slow down. Keith Dixon wants to know, Parvati, someone will soon succeed you for Miss Survivor. What do you hope to see from the potential candidates as they campaign, and what kind of duties and responsibilities do you expect the new Miss Survivor to uphold? Now, Parvati, here's what I want to ask you. Here's my take on Miss Survivor 2013. Now, Miss Survivor 2012, obviously, we went back to all the seasons and let all of the women of Survivor compete. You came out on top. No surprise there, okay? But now, in Miss Survivor 2013, my thought here, and I want to get your opinion on this, is that I want to limit it to the women who have played Survivor in the last calendar year.
Oh. Because you want this to be an ongoing yearly event?
Yes, I would like it to be an ongoing yearly event, and I think that it should be a pageant, and I think it should be synonymous of the woman who best represented Survivor in the last year, and that should be the reigning Miss Survivor going forward.
I like that idea.
You are on board with this.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yes.
And I like kind of being the godmother of it.
Yes. Okay. So you will help us crown a new Miss Survivor in January?
Absolutely. I would be honored.
Okay. Very, very good. Now, and what are the criteria that you would like to see in a future Miss Survivor?
Well, obviously, I would like to see a woman who knows how to work a bikini.
Yes. Very important.
A woman who isn't afraid to get dirty.
Okay. First definition, yeah. Keep it out of the gutter, people.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. Keep going.
Come again?
Yes.
Okay, so she can work in a bikini. She's not afraid to get dirty. She is going to take her crown and really make something of it. You know, take this experience and this title of Miss Survivor and run with it. You know, start a charity or start a new blog or start a Twitter account for Miss Survivor.
Oh, we're really lowering the bar. Like either start a charity or start a blog or open a Twitter account or just talk about opening a Twitter account or
I mean, that's something I didn't do with my reign, and I look back and I do have that one regret.
Okay. Well, if there's ever a Miss Survivor All-Stars, maybe you could come back and live through on all of your Miss Survivor campaign promises.
No. I am going to just guide the new Miss Survivor.
Oh, okay. That's
along their path.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Jordan Vetter wants to know, what's Parvati's favorite Christmas movie? Do you have a favorite holiday film?
Oh my gosh, get this. So I love The Christmas Story. I love it.
Yes.
And I recently went to a dinner party and we had this white elephant gift exchange.
Yes.
And I ended up getting a Red Ryder BB gun.
No, Parvati, I don't think you need me to tell you that you will shoot your eye out. Please.
No, scoop what you desire. That's true.
Is Scoopin' Ralphie? Is he Ralphie grown up?
Yeah, I think he might be. And I should definitely take that BB gun to the finale.
Yes. Well, please. Well, I can guarantee you, Parvati, I don't know if it's been that long since you've been in the audience. There will be a metal detector, and you will not be allowed to bring a firearm into the live finale of Survivor.
All right, fine.
I can guarantee you will not get past security with that.
I'm done. I can do things. I can do things you wouldn't expect.
Yes, I would conceal that weapon. I would not bring a BB gun to the finale.
All right, so stop telling everyone I'm going to do it.
Eric Laval wants to know, what was your favorite 80s sitcom about an all-girls boarding school?
The Golden Girls?
Oh, I don't think that was about a boarding school, though.
Well, it was about a senior citizens living community, and I love that.
Yeah. So well, did you watch?
That's my final answer.
Did you watch The Facts of Life?
No, I never watched it.
Yeah, you're not a big TV watcher, right?
Not a huge TV watcher. Nope. I pick my shows, and then I don't really watch that much other stuff.
Yes. there you go. You were too busy going to all these parties.
I'm too busy. I mean, I'm so in demand. I'm so popular. People just want me around all the time. It's really hard being me.
Yes. Well, very good.
You understand, Rob.
I do understand. I do understand. Okay. How about Eric Yu wants to know, how would Parvati have handled Abby if she was on her season? Well, how would you have handled somebody like Abby Maria?
Abby she's a tricky little one because RC tried to bring her in and make an alliance with her, and it backfired in her face. I would have been very cautious around her, knowing what I know about Latina women and what happens when they get angry. or feel slighted. So I probably would have kept her close.
Is this from playing with Sandra?
What'd you say?
From playing with Sandra?
Yeah, from playing with Sandra and from various personal experiences.
Whoa.
Yeah. I have a lot of Latina friends. I'm in the community.
You're in the community?
They're my peeps.
Whoa.
Whoa. So yeah, I mean, you have to, I think playing Survivor with a girl like Abby, you would have to keep her close and always make her feel important and like she's your number one, but then never really share all of your information and all your secrets with her.
John Radich wants to know, which move was dumber, Parvati, that you were witness to? Ice cream scooper Eric giving up immunity, JT giving the hidden immunity idol to Russell, or the dark horse, God not wanting Malcolm to go home last week?
I think it always, I will go back to Eric giving up his immunity. Always. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. He was in the final four.
Yeah.
At least JT, like, he was kind of trying to make a move, and he wasn't giving up his life in Survivor by handing that idol over. Like, he kind of tried something unorthodox.
Yeah, but how come Brandon Hance gets a pass, though? I mean, I feel like at least what Eric did almost made more sense than what Brandon Hance did when he gave up the immunity necklace at the same spot.
Oh, I think it's completely foolish, and I wasn't privy to that episode.
Yes.
So I don't know. About that,
I feel like
story.
You guys like convinced Eric that the only way he could have a chance to win was to, and yes, it was a dumb thing to do, but it was like, okay, well, at least I'm trying to get something out of this. Where I feel like,
no, and you know what? It wasn't even about winning for Eric. It was more about redeeming himself, the girls, like to be our friend.
Oh, okay,
yeah, it was more of us playing on his guilt complex and saying like, oh my gosh, we'll never speak to you again. Like, you don't know what you've done. You've ruined it. And he just, I think, just really wanted to be friends with us. And that's where it came from.
Okay. And are you still friends with Ice Cream Scooper Eric, even after he gave the necklace?
No, I don't think Eric wants to be my friend.
But he gave the necklace. You guys couldn't still just call him once in a while?
I know. I don't even know what's happening with his life. I should check in with
him. That's the worst part of it all. You said you were going to be his friend, and now you guys aren't even friends with him.
Now I lied.
You lied about that part too.
I lied about lying.
Okay. Paolo Arago wants to know, who's your favorite Jonathan? Okay. This is sort of like a ding, marry, kill, I guess. But who's your favorite Jonathan? Jonathan from Cook Islands, Jonathan from Micronesia, or Jonathan from Philippines?
Jonathan from Philippines was my favorite Jonathan. He came into himself. He was like trying to be the therapist with Lisa, and he found the idol, and he was making moves. He was being his own man. So I liked him.
Paolo's like the reverse. He's given him the reverse Cochran, that he's on a first name basis with Penner. Everybody else calls him Penner, but he calls with Jonathan.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good observation, Rob.
Guillaume Schmidt wants to know, is Mike Scoopin really a moron and an idiot?
No, I haven't met him.
You've never met Mike Scoopin?
No, I'm going to meet him this weekend.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am.
Yeah. Mike Scoopin, that's old school.
I'll have to try to keep away from him, away from any sharp objects.
Yeah. Like, don't stand next to him under like a big chandelier or anything like that.
Totally.
Yeah. And how about this? One last question. Matt Craswell wants to know, I also want to hear her talk final two versus final three. What do you prefer as a player and a viewer? You've had it both ways. What do you like?
Well, I like the final two.
Because you won?
Yeah, well, obviously.
You're jaded.
And because it's a little more streamlined. It's, you know how to defend yourself. You know how to position your argument as a final two member, I guess I could say, and you know what you're up against. I mean, if it's a final three, then it gets the lines get a little bit more blurry because people can use whatever argument you're going to use and they can say, oh, well, I did this too. But if you're up against the final two, then it's just very black and white. Like, I played this way, this person played this way. Do you like this? Do you like that? Vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's always somebody in there that doesn't get any votes. And yeah, I guess that you could potentially have a boring final two. But, you know, it's also tough with, like, the people asking questions. It's like you can ask a question, but then you're not asking everybody a question. It's like this question specifically
right.
for this person.
Yeah, that's true. And my final three on Heroes and Villains, half the people didn't even ask me a question. They barely even, like, looked at me. So I didn't like it.
Yeah, it's like
I want the attention. I want you to pay attention to me. Ask me a question.
Right. It's like, okay, I'm going to pick the one of you three that I like the least, and I'm going to, like, put you on the spot and say, how dare you? Who do you think you
sure.
are?
Sure. Yeah. That's kind of what the final three turns into.
Yeah. Yeah. No good. No good. I like a final two.
I do too.
I'm with you, Parvi. And the final three, you know, it gets very convoluted. And
I agree.
And Parvi, if it's a final three, we've got these eight people. This could be, we could get some wacky voting situations here.
Yeah. I mean, but there couldn't, yeah, I mean, there could even be a tie, too, so.
I would love to see that. Parvati. Parvati, hold on, hold the phone. Okay, how about this? I feel like the light bulb just went off.
A big one.
Yeah. Is the reason that this is a two-hour finale and a final four because there will be a tie at the final tribal council, which could involve giving additional speeches and a revote?
Rob, you may be onto something.
Think about it. Think about it. It's the only thing that makes sense.
That could be the answer.
Because every other finale is with four people is a final two. If this is the final three, something's got to happen that is going to make this finale take so long, and we got to get, you know, be done earlier. I'm just thinking maybe we could get to a 2-2 tie and need a tiebreaker there, and then we could get to if the vote comes back like 3-3-2 in the final tribal council, which everybody could get a couple of votes here. There's nobody that's going to get no votes.
Right.
I think this could be. And then what would they do? So the 3-3-2, then the person who had two, then they're out, and then they don't even get to, I guess, then the two people that are on the jury, they get to come back and vote.
Oh, man. We've never seen a tie situation. That would be very cool.
And then how about this, Parvati? What if it's a 3-3-2 tie? Let's say they vote out Denise at the final four, okay? And now it's Malcolm, Scoopin, and Lisa in the finals. And then, okay, so now it's three votes Lisa, three votes Malcolm, two votes Scoopin. Now the two people who voted for Scoopin have to go back and vote again. And what if they come back 1-1?
Oh,
what if it's
then
another,
another tie?
What if it's another tie?
A double tie.
Then does Malcolm? Then does Scoopin just get to pick who wins?
Maybe Scoopin just turns around and closes his eyes and points.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Scoopin, you're out now because not enough people voted for you. Now you're on the jury too. Now you pick the winner.
Oh man, how much pressure would that be?
Oh, good. It's good. That's good. I might have to go move into the audience at that point.
Yeah, well, then Lisa would be our winner if that situation happened.
I think so. Parvati, I feel like we've really stumbled onto this.
I think we've just broken new ground.
Yes. I like this.
Once again.
Very, very exciting. All right. Well, Parvati, this was a lot of fun. You told me before we came on that you had a couple other things you wanted to get into. Do you want to talk about any of that other stuff?
Oh, yeah. We're doing a Survivor auction to benefit Grassroots Soccer, Ethan Zahn's charity. And we have a lot of stuff in there. I donated my bikini.
Whoa.
From Micronesia. And a couple of buffs. We have some Boston Red Sox hats signed by Boston Rob. My finale dress, my winning finale dress from season 16. Amanda Kimmel's runner-up t-shirt from season 16. And some experiences with different survivors, like phone calls. Mikey B is going to cook dinner with a lucky winner, and you guys can like have a Skype session with certain survivors, things like that. So it's a pretty cool auction, and we're going to start it on Sunday, the 16th, on the finale day, and then it'll be up on eBay at Survivor Store.
Survivor Store. All right. So let me. Should we come? We should come up with a link to give to people so that they can go and check out the auction. Now, Parvati, now how come that this is the first I'm hearing about this, that you guys didn't think maybe there was something that Rob Cesternino would have that people would want to bid on and not Rob have to pay people money to take?
Okay, Rob, here's the thing. I organized this auction and I am a total flick. So I have been desperately calling people at the very last minute, begging them to donate stuff. And most of them have said, yes, they would. They'll donate phone calls or experiences. But it's kind of too late to have anyone donate any other supply.
Fair enough.
Official.
Yes.
So I started this like last, I don't know, January or something. And the poor guy who's doing the auction with me is setting it up and he's just like, oh, get it together, lady. So that's why you didn't hear about it.
No problem. I will not be insulted. So how about this? Should we call this robhasawebsite.com/grassrootsauction? And if you get me the link, I can post that on the site and then try to tell our audience about it if they want to bid on any of these items.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right. So we'll try to help you get the word out. We always try to support whatever the other survivors are doing, especially when it's for a good cause, like helping out Ethan's charity.
Yes, thank you.
Grassroots Auction. Okay. So, Parvati, that's going to be it until Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. It's all happening.
It's all happening. Will there be any other survivor alumni in the audience, in the crowd?
I've heard that we will have a few surprise survivors showing up.
Whoa, surprise survivors?
Well, I just heard Jerry's going, and then I heard a few other people are going to go as guests of the Castaways Now. So
whoa.
I'm not really sure who all is going to be there, but I think there'll be a few old favorites.
Familiar faces in old places.
Yes.
All right.
Familiar faces. It's 2012, so the end of the world. It's time for us all to get back together.
One last time. The last Survivor finale of all time. And it should be a good one.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
I know. Where did the world go? It all happened. Parvati, now, if we do have a tie break in the final tribal council, will this be just yet another omen that the Mayans were correct and it is the end of the world?
I think, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, I'm putting my kit together, my oh crap kit, if we get a tie in the final tribal council.
You're putting your kit together?
Yes, I'm putting my kit together. That's it.
I think you should already have your kit set up. I'm going to have my BB gun ready.
Oh, yeah, you have a BB gun. What do I have? I've got some microphones.
And a couple of headphones.
Some headphones, and that's it. All right. So, Parvati, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Can't wait for Sunday night. We'll have a good time then. And, Parvati, see you this weekend.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, Parvati. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Parvati Shallow here back on Rob Has a Podcast. Always great to check in with our reigning Miss Survivor. And very excited. Going to see Parvati again on Sunday. It's a Parvati weekend here on Rob Has a Podcast. So, we're going to get into your voicemails and everything that was going on from social media, but I just wanted to take a quick second to talk about Amazon.com. Now, you guys have heard me mention this a number of times about Amazon.com, about how they've got all the great deals for the holidays, but I not only talk about Amazon.com, I am a big user of Amazon.com. I make a lot of purchases from there, and with the finale coming up on Sunday, I felt like it was time to upgrade a lot of recording equipment that I would be using on Sunday. Like, I have a lot of equipment to record podcasts and voice inside of my house, but not a lot of stuff that I could take on the road with me. So once I found out that I was going to go to the finale, I jumped on Amazon.com and I said, okay, I got to get some new microphones. I got a new recorder. So I bought a bunch of stuff and I was amazed. I ordered stuff on Tuesday night and it was at my house on Wednesday. I don't understand. It's not like a pizza that there was some guy in my town that came and brought it to me. I don't even understand how it happened. I did the two-day shipping and it got here in one day, which is really Amazon.com is really amazing. And so if you're worried that stuff is going to get to you before Christmas, I can assure you I got plenty of stuff in time for the finale of Survivor, and I ordered it on Tuesday. So Amazon.com, use the link. RobHasAWebsite.com/Amazon and fill out your list, because if you're like me, you're still running around getting stuff, because not everything that your wife wants is on Amazon.com, but a bunch of stuff is. So check that out and help support the podcast. All right, so now it's time for what has quickly become my favorite new segment here on Rob Has a Podcast this season. It's time to check the Rob Has a Podcast voicemail inbox, and I think this is like a segment that we need a jingle for. I don't have one for this week. Maybe by next season, Fake Plastic Trees, are you listening? Maybe we need a voicemail inbox jingle. Maybe a pun. Maybe we need to get the interns worked on this. We need some sort of branding in this segment. I think that's the one thing missing from taking it over the top and making it everybody's favorite part of the podcast. So let's see here. Where's the order that I want to read these things? Okay, let's start off here with Brian Hickey. He's a regular on the voicemail. Take it away, Brian.
Hey, Rob. Brian Hickey here. Really devastated that Abby Maria went home last night. And I was wondering if you thought she had a chance maybe to come back for a Survivor All-Star season? And who, if anybody, from the season?
All right, great question, Brian Hickey. And who from these new players could be an All-Star? And I interviewed Abby Maria this morning. And to answer your question, could Abby Maria be an All-Star? I am going to... Oh, wait, where's the Magic 8-Ball? This would be a good thing for the Magic 8-Ball. But I don't even need the Magic 8-Ball, because I will tell you, yes, yes, Abby Maria will play Survivor again. That is a prophecy here. Mark it down, everybody. Mark it down, fact checker. On December 13th, 2000... Today's the 13th, right? December 13th, 2012, I predict Abby Maria will return for another stint on Survivor. Malcolm, yes. I predict as well that Malcolm will one day return and play Survivor. You could write that one down in pen. I have a very good feeling about that one. And then of these other new players, if Jeff Kent wanted to, I'm sure they would bring him back. If Lisa Welchel wanted to, I'm sure they would bring her back. I think Scoopin, I don't think we're going to see a third stint for him. I don't think we'll have a fourth stint for Penner. No on Carter. Unless Denise wins, I don't think that we necessarily need another run of Denise. Pete, I feel like there's a lot of Petes out there. Maybe the only other one that I could see maybe coming back is I could see RC, because the women's bracket of returning player is a little more wide open. And she had, you know, she made an impact. She caused a lot of fights in her time on the show. She has a nice bikini that she wears on the show. So I think that she is good casting. Casting gold, RC. I don't think that would be a sleeper, I think, if you were going to pick who's going to come back from this season. But I would say Abby Maria, Malcolm are the two people that I do think will definitely be back. And then RC, I think, is a nice little sleeper, there. So let's go to, here we go. This is Alexander Samuels.
Hey, Rob, longtime listener, first-time voicemailer, Alexander Samuels calling you on Tuesday. I was doing a little bit of math in the shower and realized that this season had the potential to have something that I can't think of a similar scenario happening in the past on Survivor. That is, with the three tribes that we had to start the season out with and the three hidden immunity idols that are good up through the final five, we had the potential of having three players at the final five having a hidden immunity idol, and then one player winning individual immunity. So that means at the final five, you'd have four players who would automatically be immune, and the fifth player would have to automatically be voted out without having a chance to save themselves. Just not really much of a question here, just wondering if you had any thoughts on that or anything. Thinking about it, the only thing even close would be the Purple Rock, but at least in that case, you have a chance to break the tie. Anyway, love the show. Hope to talk to you soon. Thanks.
That was from Alexander Samuels. And now, why Alexander is thinking about this scenario in the shower, this we will never know. That being said, Alexander, I don't know why you're thinking about this, but let's explore this scenario for a second. So we get five people left. from three different tribes with three hidden immunity idols that didn't get played throughout the game. And now we have sort of like this, you know, Mexican standoff where everybody is playing their immunity idol at the same time. Plus, somebody wins immunity, and the fifth person goes home. Yeah, I guess it sucks to be that person. I mean, it would be a really wild tribal council that none of the votes would count. So, yeah, I guess that's, you know, all the hidden immunity idol votes would. Now, what would happen? Because you would play the idol, so it would basically come down to, you know, vote, one vote for Joe, two votes for Joe. You know, that's three votes Joe, two votes Mary. This vote doesn't count. This vote doesn't count. This vote doesn't count. So if the person who in this scenario, this nuclear scenario, was also didn't even get any votes for them, I don't even understand how they would have to go then and then break the tie. And does the hidden immunity idol work against the tie break vote? This is a good question that we might have to. I guess it does. I guess it does. But maybe you guys can figure that one out. But don't worry. This will never, ever happen. So we don't have to figure out the logistics on how this will work. All right. So let's go ahead and let's hear from Austin Trupp.
Hello, Rob and Nicole. This is Austin Trupp calling. Just wanted to wish you guys a happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I just wanted to know, Rob, in your time on the jury, you have experience. In the finales, in the final tribal council, do they show all the opening statements and questions in their entirety, or does it go on longer? Is there stuff we don't see, pieces cut out? Yep, great stuff as always, amazeballs, and peace.
All right, thank you, Austin. And Austin is the newest member of the Rob Has a Podcast intern staff. He coined the phrase, happy holidays, and I said that is the kind of thinking that we need in the Rob Has a Podcast intern program. So, that being said, yes, there is a lot more that happens at the final tribal council. They can't show it on TV. Both people have their opening statements. Sometimes questions go on longer. So, yeah, the final tribal council that you see on TV is a shorter version of what happened, minus all of the stuff that was either boring or the stuff that, you know, wasn't relevant or didn't make sense or is talking about, like, something with production or something, obviously, that it didn't work out. And, you know, a lot of times these people go on and on and on with their questions and with the people on the jury also. So they cut it down for your enjoyment, trust me. So you are getting all of the best stuff. They're cutting out the stuff that kind of sucks. So last voicemail. This comes to us from, now I know this name, this is Dave Johnson has a voicemail for us.
Robert, sir, it's Dave Johnson here. Really glad to see that Survivor's going back to its roots of honor and integrity. I would have won Survivor of the Amazon if we were playing with these guys. Much better. We don't like blindsides. We like integrity. We never lie. I want you and your sports fans to know Dave Johnson will be back. Robert, sir. Watch the commentary. Not very flattering. Watch out, Rob, sir.
Oh, my God. Dave Johnson from Survivor the Amazon calling into the Rob as a Podcast voicemail inbox. How do you like that? Well, Dave Johnson, long time no speak. I'm happy that you are liking this season because you like playing the game with honor and integrity. That is a good thing to do. I'm sorry, however, that you are not liking the unauthorized Survivor of the Amazon commentary that I did with Jenna Maraska. I'm sorry if we were hard on your philosophy about the game, and I'm sorry that Jenna is spilling the beans on whatever might have happened. So I apologize about that as well, Dave Johnson. But it is good hearing from you, buddy. If you want to check out the commentary, I will give you a 50% off discount code. I will email it to you, Dave Johnson, and you can check it out at robhasawebsite.com/commentary. That's just for you, Dave Johnson. We also got some fun home videos on there, too, that you might want to check out as well, Dave Johnson. So let's jump in and go into some of these comments from social media. Reality stars, they love social media. They love the Twitter. They love the Foursquare. You're not Foursquare. You're not having fun on Instagram until, well, they do, some survivors like Instagram. You're not having fun on Instagram until you're following some of these survivors. Okay, here we go. Let's start out here with, now I had tweeted earlier this weekend that I was so excited because not only is it the Survivor finale this weekend, it is also going to be the televised Brentschel wedding for you Big Brother fans. That's going to be on over the weekend. Trying to get together with a Brentschel wedding podcast to cover the telecast that's going to be on this weekend. I think the Brentschel wedding is on Saturday night, but check your local listings. Dawson tweeted, said, at Rob, oh, I said basically, Brentschel wedding and Survivor finale in one weekend. When am I supposed to sleep? And Dawson said, at Rob Cisternino, you've got to prioritize. I'm sure the Brentschels will get married again, but Survivor finales only happen twice a year. Oh, how dare you, Dawson? How dare you not only insult Brentschel, but also insult the sacrament of marriage and all things holy and love, okay? That is all the things that got insulted from your insensitive tweet, Dawson. Cochran, at John M. Cochran tweeted, looks like these survivors are having a whale of a good time, right? There you go. That's from Cochran. Troyzan had a tweet. He tweeted, big congrats to at Rob Cisternino. You're just inducted into the Survivor Hall of Fame. Outstanding, buddy. This is your Hall of Fame. Ha ha. So thank you very much, Troyzan. Yes, and if only it was my island or my taters, then that would be even something more impressive. Thank you very much to Troyzan. And now Jenna Maraska, my friend from Survivor the Amazon, she was tweeting a bit about how she said about the spider. This got her very upset because it was reminiscent of the spider that bit Heidi. And Jenna tweeted, Survivor fact, Heidi still has no cartilage in her knee from the spider bite she got on the show Survivor. So I don't know if, you know, Heidi maybe wanted to get a hold of Denise to talk about some treatment options for her. She may want to get that checked out before she goes any further because I hear one of the side effects of Survivor spider bites is then being irresistible to left-handed pitching. That's why I think that's one of the side effects to getting that spider venom in you on Survivor. And then coming to us, we love to get the tweets from you guys with the hashtag RHAP. And we love getting the comments from you guys on robhasawebsite.com. On all of the shows, you can leave comments, interact with the other listeners, tell everybody what you're thinking, good, bad, indifferent. Let us know what you're thinking. Comment of the week comes to us. AlexK123 on the last podcast, he tweeted, how amazing will it be if it's a tie in the final four and Mike Scoopin gets eliminated by fire again? How do you like that? What a ironic twist that would be, like an O. Henry story, if Mike Scoopin has to make a fire to win, to not get voted off the Survivor, and then he is fails at making a fire, or if he succeeds at making the fire. Either way, it's a nice story. So that's going to do it for this week's Rob Has a Podcast. That we are going to be back now, I guess the next, unless we, I got to figure out when, if and when I'm going to do this Brentschel wedding podcast. Then the next time you hear my voice, if not for a Brentschel podcast, will be a Sunday evening. And now again, the other thing we have to think about here is football, because the CBS doubleheader here in December could run late, pushing everything back on that night. So if 60 Minutes doesn't start until about 7:30, that means the Survivor finale is not going to start till 8:30. So they do a really good job, CBS. In the past, it was sort of like, well, I have no idea. I'm watching 60 Minutes, and I have no idea when it's going to end, and you got to just keep coming back. They have like an eye alert, it's called. So they will tweet it out. They will have it like on the bottom of the screen when Survivor is going to start out. So just if you have a, if you're recording it on your DVR, just make sure you pad it extra. If you're going to not be watching it live on Sunday night, make sure you give yourself enough time and just plan accordingly. So, Survivor finale, we'll do the same thing. I'll set it up for about 11:15, but we will go on live after the reunion show is over. I will be backstage in the press area at the Survivor finale. Stephen Fishback will be live in New York. God forbid if anything happens to me, we lose my connection. Stephen Fishback will be raring to go. I'll still be recording. We'll get everything posted on the website. So it's going to be a great night on Sunday night. Very excited about that. And then the only other thing I have to say to you guys today is if you like what you've heard here today and you're enjoying the shows, please do us a favor and leave us some feedback and comments on iTunes. Give us 5 stars if you're enjoying the show, or leave us a comment even. You can get to our iTunes page very easily by going to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. It helps us out in our iTunes rankings when you subscribe, when you leave us feedback, and we very much appreciate that. So thank you very much. Have a great night, everybody. Had a blast talking with Parvati today. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Big, big weekend coming up. And then don't forget about the Happy Holidays to Rob as a Podcast Christmas special coming up on Tuesday. I have some fun stuff planned for that as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Sunday night. Take care. Bye.